Beds are burning right here on ABC Sunshine Coast. A very good morning to you. Well, for most Australians, home ownership is the ultimate goal. It's often called the Australian dream. But for First Nations people, it's much more complex than that. They don't believe anything can be owned, not even land. Cultural awareness experts Auntie Munya Andrews and Carla Rogers are here to help us understand more about this issue. Auntie Munya, welcome to the program. Can you explain the First Nations perspective of land and ownership?
Yes, good morning, Ollie. For most Indigenous peoples, the world over, even not just Aboriginal people, but we believe that land can never be owned, that we belong to the land. Of course, attitudes are changing, and there's probably some, the younger generation may have a different view of this, but there's a spiritual clash there, and sometimes it's really hard to get around. You know, I know for a lot of Aboriginal people, I did own a house many years ago in my early 20s, and I've since, you know, sort of come back to this way of thinking about what can you own. It's time is fleeting, and we're just here for a short while. I think I was having this conversation with someone yesterday, friends yesterday, about, you know, how can you own the land? You can't take it with you when you die, for example. But there's a spiritual connection, because it's not a commodity to us. Country is family, and that can be a really difficult concept to get across to others who haven't been raised with those sorts of ideas. So country is family. We feel sorry for country. We cry for country. And when you hurt the land, we get hurt in turn. So it's a very special relationship between Aboriginal people and the land.
So I wanted to ask you about that just then. You're saying it's a member of the family, essentially. So you've got mum and dad, kids, but you've also got the land, and that's how it's appreciated within the concept. Is that right?
Sorry, what was that?
So you're saying that the land is just another family member, and you treat the land as that.
Yes, that's right. And that's why you feel sorry for land. That's why you have to sing to it. That's why you have to speak to it, just like you would with any other family member, and care for it and look after it.
How can we acknowledge the traditional owners when they don't own the land? And I know that's a very kind of simple question, but how do we do that?
Well, it's about probably just acknowledging that all of us are here, passing through time, and we are part of the land. One way is to just acknowledge that that's where we get our identity from, and so that's why country is important. People know exactly where their families are. Origin lies and where it comes from. So, for instance, you can live in Sydney or Melbourne, the capital cities, but your land, your country may be out in the desert or way up in the north, but you still retain that connection. So it's about acknowledging our ancestors. And I always say to people, they're not just my ancestors, they're your ancestors as well. Yeah. They're the ones who came before us. So there's something about respecting Aboriginal people's connection to land, but the special tie and the bonds that they have to country.
Can we talk a little bit about that? As you mentioned, there, people might live in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, the Sunshine Coast, but their land might be, you know, out back, or it might be in a different state. How do you maintain that connection to your land?
Well, there's lots of ways. You may go back for ceremony, for instance, at certain times of the year. But it's also, it's a spiritual thing and it's a mental thing. I know when I've lived far away from country that I've always held it in my mind and in my heart, and that you can sing for country. It's like saying prayers for family. You can say prayers for country even though you're far, far away. So you maintain it that way, but through talking about it, passing on the stories, singing about it, just retaining that connection with country.
How can we all support? And you're saying it's everyone's land, it's everyone's ancestors. How can we all support this idea of country and the fact that, we, you know, as you said, we're just passing through time, that we don't own it, we just need to respect it and love it? How can we all, you know, do that as well?
I think it's about caring for country, looking after it, so which means cleaning the land. I love it when we have those campaigns and people are out there picking up the litter. Just something as simple and as basic as that, cleaning the creeks, you know, caring for it. Carla, what would you say?
No, as a non-Indigenous person, there's really simple things that we can do, and one of those is simply finding out who's land our home is on or our town is in, and at least once or even once every day you can acknowledge the traditional owners. That's a really practical thing. We're very focused, Auntie Manya and I, on the practical things you can do, and that's just a very simple one.
And it is such an important message as well. What are some other, we're running out of time unfortunately, but yep, what are some other ways that we can respect and connect?
I think another very simple way is through self-education. Yeah. And we say in our programs, you know, only 3% of the population is Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander. We can't keep leaving it to that 3% to educate us. We have to, as a non-Indigenous person, I have to take action to educate myself. So I think that is one of the most powerful ways, is through self-education. And there's so many easy ways to do that. One is just to, for instance, to watch some good TV programs or movies like Rabbit Proof Fence. There's so much available in books and everything.
And it's such a beautiful culture that we're so lucky to have here. And yes, absolutely, self-education is very important and people should do that. I really appreciate your time this morning, Auntie Manya Andrews and Carla Rogers.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.